Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We'll go back.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me in the Extra Hour is Pat and Chris.
What's up?
What's up? What's up, guys? How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. You know, we just had a great talk here in the first hour, and I'm just so excited about what we're going to be sharing here in the extra hour, mm-hmm. You know, the justice of God. But What's up, man? How you been doing?
Oh, man, I've been doing good. You know, matter of fact, Chris, check this out.
Yes.
You know, I've been working on my office at the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm knocking some walls down. Nailing some boards up, you know, kind of expanding it a little bit.
I saw Jonathan was helping you with that.
Yeah. He loves tearing stuff up. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Gave him a sledgehammer. I said, all right, knock this wall down. And he was like, all right. He tore it to pieces. So, you know, I'm nailing some boards up, you know, and I just started reminiscing. You know, back in... Reminiscing, yeah. I was thinking back all the times that we used to, you know, all the times we did all those projects, you know, with the church back in the day, and I got to thinking, and as I'm nailing this board in, and you know, there's a specific way you can nail a particular, you know, type of board in. It's called toe nailing.
Right.
Mm. You know, you kind of nail it at a 45 degree angle when you can't really get to it from the other way.
Mm.
As I'm nailing this board, I'm like, it just made me think of something that was pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
You remember the time...
We can skip this.
When we were doing that project at the church, and this is the building I'm referring to. And, you know, John, he was real, you know, green back in those days. Yeah. Didn't know much about construction.
Was?
Yeah. Yes.
And we thought it would be really funny. We said, John, come here. You know, he was there to help. He had his little apron on. He had his little belt buckle. He had his little tape measure. He was like,
You hear this, Chris?
Yes.
What can I do? I said, John, I need some toenails. Could you go find me some toenails? Sure. So he takes off looking for these toenails. He was gone for hours, I think. And he finally comes back. He goes, I can't find the toenails. I just don't know where. What do they look like?
They think this is humorous, you see. In my naivety, this is what you call taking advantage of someone that was there to help, to be a helper, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what in the world? When I found out, when it was revealed to me that this was a scam, they lied to me. You know, I am not the handyman, you know, although I have grown in some wisdom
yes,
over the
you
years,
have.
I have grown in my,
you
in
do
my...
know what a toenail is now. And it's not the things you clip off the end of your toes.
No. Got that, you know, but I used to say, you know, a hammer in someone else's hand is a tool, and in my hand, it's a weapon, and I probably got myself, you know what I mean? But, me and tools are not really the best of friends. I have learned though. I've gotten an education, but I wouldn't say I'm a master builder, Chris. I'm not on the level.
You're not a Bob Builder, Bob Vila, right?
Oh no, not at all. I mean, I need the website, the video, and a whole lot of prayer and some duct tape to fix it all.
Just put some mud on it.
Oh yeah,
mud fixes. That'll
fix everything.
Mud fixes everything.
Just slap some mud on it and keep going.
Sick.
Well, not so humorous moments, you know.
Yes.
But yeah, I want to talk in the extra hour, guys. I want to talk about justice. You know, justice,
mm-hmm.
and who does justice belong to? You know, who has a hold to justice? You know, Jesus talking to his disciples, he shares this parable in Luke, and I think it's, you know, pretty awesome. But in Luke chapter 18, it says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. That's a clue. When Jesus is telling you to pray and not give up, that would be a good place to highlight. You know what I'm saying? It's a special notation. Mm-hmm. In verse 2, he says, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time, he refused. But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. Mm. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. Mm. He will see that they get justice and quickly. When you think about justice, you're like, okay. You know, one thing we realize here is that he says, listen, don't give up and pray. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You want to pray to the one who holds the heart of the king in his hand. You know what I mean? You want to seek the Lord in everything. And you want to be persistent. You know, how many times, you know, and maybe in your early walk where you prayed about something, you really wanted God to do something. It's like, well, I prayed the whole two times about it, you know, and that's it. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, sometimes you need to be persistent in prayer. And I'm really not sometimes, a lot of times. Mm-hmm. Persistence in prayer is not the absence of faith. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people get an idea that, well, I prayed for it once and that settles it and that's it.
Right.
And keep praying about it, then that's not faith. Actually, it's just the opposite. It's your persistent prayer, your persistent belief, your persistent locking in on what it is you're believing God to do. Mm-hmm. It's actually showing that you have faith, that you're actually seeking the one in whom you know all answers lie and rest.
That's right.
You're believing for the King, the Lord, to turn the events. And she says, grant me justice against my adversary. I mean, listen, Jesus said, in this world, you will have troubles. You will have tribulations.
That's right.
But cheer up. I've overcome the world. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you're not going to live a life just because you give your life to the Lord free of trials, free of tribulations, and even free of adversaries.
Right.
I mean, listen, I mean, right now, I mean, just because somebody's hating on you doesn't mean you did necessarily something wrong.
Right.
They could be hating on you because you did something right.
That's true.
You know what I mean? So, you need to know that justice, you know, justice belongs to him. And he says, listen, it will not God bring about justice for his chosen one who cries out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? Mm-mm. He says, I'll tell you, he will see to it that they get justice and quickly. I mean, he's just. Mm. Justice is the quality of being just, righteous, and fair. There's nothing like, you know, being in an unfair situation and it's like, this is just not right. This is wrong and I'm suffering for it, whatever that may be. And so Proverbs 29:26 says, many seek an audience with the ruler, but it is from the Lord that man gets justice.
Right.
You know, you can seek an audience with the ruler. You can try to go about getting justice your own way. Normally what happens is that, you know, when we want justice, it's amazing how when someone does us wrong, oh, we want justice. We want the justice. Justice. We want justice.
Yeah.
And yet, when we are on the other side, we're like, oh, you know, how about mercy? You know, how about, you know, can we forget about this situation?
That's right.
you know, can we just ignore this right now?
Mm-hmm.
And normally those that are aggressive for justice, because they've been wronged in some way. They have been hurt in some way. They have been a part of something that's been unfair,
mm-hmm.
and suffered a loss, either to themselves, personally, physically, financially, emotionally.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But they're suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And in some way, they feel that they need to correct this. That needs to be made right. And sometimes there's an injustice that needs to be made right. I mean, there's a lot of injustices out there that are just simply flat out wrong,
right.
in God's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, and God, listen, God wants us to cry out to Him. He wants us to invite. He's given us authority over the earth. So if we have authority over the earth and we need to act justly and make sure that justice is in the land, we need to invite Him to move on our behalf, to move and to correct the injustices that have occurred.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like perceived injustices. You know, I just thought I was done wrong. You know,
right.
And then there's real injustices. You know,
yeah, right.
We got to separate those from the perceived offenses and those that were really, you know, mm-hmm. offended and right. done wrong. But we can go about that two ways. And one way is to find justice for yourself. And the temptation is that, you know, you begin to defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You begin to, because you were wounded and you were attacked in some way,
mm-hmm.
you start, that wall starts to build up.
Mm-hmm.
You become self-focused. And it all becomes about you and what was done wrong to you.
Mm-hmm.
How could this happen?
Right.
Granted. I mean, bad things happen.
That's right.
To good people.
Mm-hmm.
It does happen. But the question is, does God want you to handle that justice? Does He want you to put on the robe and you go find out your own justice? You run around and mm-hmm. get your gavel out and put on your robe and you're going to mm-hmm. correct this, right?
I'm going to fix this.
I'm going to, they're going to get a piece of my mind, his mind, her, we all our mind.
All right. You're not going to diss me.
Oh, no. we're going to make this right.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that are we willing to be hated? Are we willing to suffer?
Mm-hmm.
Are we willing to go through anything? I mean, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 says, show proper respect to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God and honor the king. He talks about slaves. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh.
Mm-hmm.
Ruh-roh.
Ruh-roh, George.
Ruh-roh. Okay. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering, because he is conscious of God.
Mm.
He's conscious. Our hearts are pricked and our minds to say, but
mm-hmm.
God.
Mm-hmm.
But God, listen, when you can't get justice anywhere, you know, I think if we have the ability sometimes to go quickly get an attorney for something and just sometimes circumvent the idea of who are we trusting in, you know, mm-hmm. are we trusting in finances and mm-hmm. advocates? Are we trusting in people that can vouch for us that, yes, this was truly unfair?
Mm-hmm.
And we start bringing a resume, a group of people to start speaking on our behalf and just to try to make some things right. I mean, granted, there is a place for all of this. There is a place. But I'm talking about things where we were just wounded that are not, you know, on that type of a level.
Right.
You follow what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. On that type of level. Listen to what the word says. He says, to this, you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example mm-hmm. that you should follow in his steps. I mean, verse 22, listen to this. He committed no sin. This is Jesus now.
Right.
And no deceit was found in his mouth. I mean, he was absolutely sinless. 33 years. This is Jesus.
Right.
Okay. And I've talked about that Jesus walked on the face of the earth, you know, He was fully God, fully man, but he didn't walk in the deity, if you will. He didn't walk in his godness. I kind of like to say, and I hope I'm saying this right, but he laid down the Superman cape of God down. You know what I mean? He didn't walk in the fullness of his godhead, but he walked on this face of the earth as a man empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't discredit. If we don't know that, then we discredit the miracles, the suffering, his good character, who he was. We discredit that and just say, oh, you know, he's God, you know, right. He was just God. Mm-hmm. Yes, he was. You see, yeah, and he is. He's fully God and fully man.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, he lived this life out as a man empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so, on verse 22, he committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. Verse 23, when they hurled their insults at him,
yeah,
he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. But what did Jesus do? Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly.
Mm.
We're like, oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I mean, he's such an amazing example.
Yes.
I mean, listen, maybe you've suffered some threats. Maybe you've taken some insults. Maybe you've deserved them.
Which is usually the case.
Yeah, maybe it's usually the case when we get lamb-blasted there. We get, you know, a little shock and awe right back to us, you know. But there was no reason. No one could justifiably, remotely, say anything or do anything that deserved that type of treatment. And if anyone would have been righteous, would have been right, would have been totally accepted in anyone's eyes as saying, okay, enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
I have been here amongst you long enough. I've tolerated all of this. But we're gonna get justice right. We're going to straighten all of this out.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus never, not once did that.
Mm-mm.
What did he do? He entrusted himself to the one who judges justly.
Right.
I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today not to seek your own justice. I want to encourage you not to preside as the judge and jury in your own case.
Mm-mm.
I want to encourage you to trust him. I want to encourage you to take your suffering, take your pain, and seek the faithful one. Seek the one who is the great judge. The one who sits on the highest court. The one who could render the fairest judgment. Because he doesn't have any biases. He loves us all. Not only does he not have any biases, Chris and Pat, but in many cases, people are trying to find the truth.
Mm-hmm.
He not only knows the truth, but he is the truth.
That's right.
Hello. He knows yesterday, sees yesterday, today, and tomorrow, all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so if anyone who can grant, because what we're saying is that we want things to be fair.
Right.
We've suffered something. Well, you and I are not qualified sometimes to bring fairness.
Mm-mm.
Maybe we may have some hidden biases. Maybe we may have some hidden spots that we are not aware of. And that's why it's so important to surround yourself with a fellowship of believers, to surround yourself with the church, the people of God. Mm-hmm. It's so important to hold yourself accountable because you know what? We can have blind spots.
That's right.
But Jesus doesn't have no blind spots.
Mm-mm.
No. He sees it all. And if what you really want, if you really want is fairness, if you really want what's right, you'll entrust himself. Because you know what? One day someone may try to exact justice on you. He may leave you to yourself and say, okay, you want, go ahead and handle this.
Right, right.
You go ahead and dish out the punishment.
Mm-hmm.
But don't forget, with the same measure you use today, it may be measured against you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And only God knows everything. He knows the motives of people's hearts. He knows the story behind the story and the motives behind what and how things came to pass. And so we can petition just like the widow. I mean, she had no resources of her own. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? She had no ability of her own. She couldn't afford. We could only, you know, look into the scriptures and maybe just imply that, you know, that maybe she didn't have any. She was a widow. So maybe she didn't have the resource. She didn't have the support to hire an attorney. But what she did have was persistence. Mm. And Jesus tells us, hey, don't give up. Don't give up in your prayers now. Mm-hmm. Don't. Right. I mean, if Jesus is telling you, don't give up in praying, I would underline that.
Yeah. Pay attention.
Special note.
Write that down.
Yep. I'd footnote that and everything. You know what I'm saying? It's a good place for a star. You know
right.
and seek the one who could render the right decision. You know, he's the one that makes all of the right choices. Mm-hmm. And he's faithful.
Yeah.
In fact, he's faithful and just. The rider of the horse. He's faithful and just. And he's fair. Got to work it out.
That's right.
Got to work it out. He has a way of correcting wrongs and helping us along the process. But what he doesn't want us to do is to exact our own justice. Who of us is qualified? Mm. Who of us can raise the gavel and say, here, I sentence you.
Yeah.
I sentence you to grovel and plead for my mercy and forgiveness and acknowledge what you've done to me. Here. Mm. And tell everyone.
Right.
I want you to make a public confession on Facebook.
Right.
I want you to tell everybody what you did. You know what
right.
That is not necessarily or at all what God wants us to do. But as we grow, we realize that everything that happens in our life is Father filtered.
Mm-hmm.
That whatever we're going through, you know, God could have stopped it. You know, if God holds our heart, our life together,
mm-hmm.
He can definitely, you know, holds our life in His hands. He can take care of it. So remember, you can trust God. Justice belongs to Him. We'll be right back.
I'm so excited to have Steve Kalaszewski with us on the LVFM radio today. I'm glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
And there's people out there right now that I know you're brilliant now. I mean, because you're so educated. I mean, you just graduated from University of West Florida. You've graduated from the Vine Fellowship Network University. I mean, you're about to go plant a church. You've already did church work in Florida, but you're going to go to Pittsburgh. I mean, you're just, you know, walking on water now. But imagine if you would.
God. Thank you, Jesus.
There's somebody out there listening right now via the radio that they slightly felt like, you know, I had a call, but immediately they looked at themselves and they looked at their work at this even come to pass. And, you know, they started doubting themselves. Talk to that person right now about how VFNU could help them out.
Wow. If you really feel that God's just really speaking to you or just speaking in your heart, VFNU is the resource that you need, because I totally relate to you, because when God found me, I had gone through the laundry list of everything that the world offered. And I knew that as soon as the message of Jesus Christ was shared to me, I knew that's exactly what I wanted. And God just began to just take me on a journey of just revealing Himself to me. And no matter what He revealed to me, it just made me more hungry. It just gave me a greater desire. And when God began to speak to me about VFNU, I was like, I have no idea what that is, but I know I want it. And if it has anything to do with God, sign me up. And in that, it was just like, each day was overwhelming, because it was like, oh my goodness, I'm like, wow, like this is, but it was overwhelming in a good way. And it's just so God.
Right.
God gives you the tools. He gives you just so many revelations,
mm-hmm.
just so many levels of His word that are just, He's just so good.
Mm-hmm.
And VFNU is just, I mean, I still have all my notes, everything.
Oh, yeah.
I look back on it. And even in that, it's encouraging when I look back on it. And it's like, I remember, I think I was talking about it with you right after I graduated, and it was like looking back over an old photo album of all the revelations. It's just like, I remember this one. Oh yeah, I remember when God spoke to me in my abiding time about this. And it was just,
isn't it amazing? So that you can gather all the information that you want to, but there's nothing like the revelation. It's so empowering. And that's what VFN is about.
Yeah.
You know, it was revealed from God.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, you know, you might be thinking like, I got to go take my English class. I got to take my algebra class. It's just the revelation of God, and it's anointed. You know, and so you walk into it probably thinking, you know, well, I got to get this information so I can, you know, get to the point where I could minister, maybe shepherd God's people or whatever. And you walk in, the first thing you go is like, whoa, right? Right?
Yeah.
And then you finish that while, right? And then you go the next thing you go, like, whoa, you know, it's just, he's so exactly. Awesome, isn't he?
No matter how much God you have, there's more.
There really is. And if you want to find out more, you want possibly interested in, you feel a call on your life, you want to know more about possibly getting into leadership, and maybe you want to be feel like you're called to be a pastor and you want to be trained, just come out to go to vfnu.org. That's vfnu.org, and you can find out more. You know, quite often, you know, we're looking and we're searching, we're trying to find out, you know, maybe this will actually make me feel better. Maybe this job will fix me. Maybe this relationship will fix me. Maybe money will fix me. Maybe education will fix me. Maybe medication will fix me. I don't know what it is, but something we're always trying to, we don't consciously say, hey, I need a fix. We don't consciously say I have a hole in my heart and I'm trying to fill it. But the truth is, if we really studied it, if we really thought it through, the truth is that we have a hole in our heart and we're trying to fill it and nothing's working. And I'm going to tell you something, that journey that you went on, that you went to relationship after relationship, you went to job after job, you went after money, you went after fame, whatever it is. And it leaves you not only dry, but it leaves you shameful. It leaves you like, I'm not worth anything now. But let me tell you something, that was nothing but a distraction. That our God, through his son Jesus Christ, can actually cleanse you from all that. Don't worry about it. It's only religious people who will tell you that God won't accept you. That's like the Pharisees. That's the whole reason why Jesus came for us. You know, you've got to meet God through his son Jesus Christ. There's nothing more powerful. As a matter of fact, we shared a few of our stories at meetmyfather.org. We've shared a couple of them just to find out so you can get the different perspectives of how, you know, the people that God saves. You know, Paul said this. He said, the reason why God saved me is because I was the chiefest of sinners, and by looking at me, you can see how big his grace is. There's enough grace for you. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart, and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together, and we got to get people together, And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. And God moved mightily. And we finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen. And all we realized, that is what's producing the death. We had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. Mm-hmm. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that
that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits on our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app. But they like us, and so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat, based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen, and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just, for $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today in the extra hour is Pat and Chris, where we're talking about justice, that justice belongs to God.
That's right.
You know, we're talking about suffering and the things that we go through, and the trials and the hurts and the pains, and we have a couple of choices on how to respond. I mean, listen, we can try to find justice on our own, and we can defend ourselves, and we can try to correct a wrong and make ourselves the judge, jury, you know, sentencing crew and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Or we have another option, and we can turn to the righteous judge. We can turn to the one who's faithful, the one who knows all things, and the one who's actually most qualified to render the fairest judgment of all.
Right.
You know, and I look back at situations and circumstances, you know, from my own life where, you know, wow, I needed God to intervene in the situation.
All right. Absolutely. Yeah. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, one particular one was I was working at a job, and I can relate. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are working today.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, young, very young in our walk with God, young in our marriage, and young, small children. And many people are in that place now. You're working at a place where it's difficult and challenging, and the economy is tough, and sometimes you have employers that don't work with you.
Yeah,
you know, they don't work with you. You know, it's just how it is sometimes. In fact, oftentimes, you know, you may work for a big company, let's say Bank of America. The headquarters is in let's say another state from where you work at.
Mm-hmm.
But really, the face, if it's, we just choose Bank of America, the face of Bank of America that the customers know, is a Bank of America in the local community. Mm-hmm. So whatever the local community, their representation of Bank of America, if it's good or not good, then that's what people are going to think of Bank of America as at large.
Right.
So same thing kind of with your bosses. You may work for a big company, but maybe it's your direct supervisor that you relate with all the time. That's the that's your representation. And so it doesn't always seem like it's the fairest of ways. Mm-hmm. And sometimes employees are not treated well. Mm-hmm. But also in a situation earlier in my walk where I was a sales manager under a particular manager, and he was actually a little jealous that he found out that my pay was very almost close to similar to his, and kind of felt like he should be receiving more because he was the general manager. Well, it is just not a good working situation. I mean, it's just not good at all. It just things were happening, and it became working very challenging, very tough, and. Mm-hmm. You know, if someone, jealousy is a rough thing to go through. You have to be going through that, and it's like every day is like, where did that come from? Or what is that statement? And all of a sudden you see shifting in people you work with, and it's like, man, this is not cool. This is not right. And I said, what do you do? I was stuck. I needed a job. I needed to pray. I needed to get along with my boss. He was my boss. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
But you just don't know. It's just like, oh, wow, the income situation. Mm-hmm. So I remember just praying. And this is where that scripture became alive to me. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that he never had any kind of like ill, thing or towards me, because I'd say what happened here in a minute after all this. But I just, this verse of scripture just became so alive. I used to pray this so often. I said, Lord, I just entrust myself. I'm not going to defend myself. Mm-hmm. Because there was a time, let me tell you something. It's like, I'm not saying nothing because I don't have no words now. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying nothing because I ain't got no vocabulary. You know, I could put a couple sentences together. I really could say something right now, I'm choosing to follow the ways of Christ. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
So I'm growing in my walk with God, and I'm, okay, Lord, to this I was called.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the first times where I really began just to seek God and trust His justice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and out of just a series of events, God wound up giving me employment elsewhere that, increased my income. Just huge. It was a complete lifestyle change for us at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And wound up just promoting me just to somewhere else out of all of that. And before I wind up being promoted, I start to see that this person's heart was completely turning towards me in a great way. Oh. And wind up giving me a hug. And it was just awesome. And I realized that, some people just are attacked with certain things. Things it just happens. Afterwards, we wind up later on, after several years later, we wind up working at another place together yet again.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was just fine and cool, and there's just no issues there. But sometimes people are attacked with different things. Mm-hmm. And just remembered that in that particular time, I was just like, wow, God, I need you to intervene. And sometimes too, don't be surprised that different things get on different people.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible tells us in Ephesians that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, rulers of darkness. And it's not, people are not your issue.
Right.
Are not your issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's what's influencing them, what's taking them captive that's affecting you.
Right.
And so that's why a lot of times you got to seek justice with the Lord and don't get into it with folks and people and defending yourself and all that. You just got to let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go.
That's it. You're right. It really makes me think about a situation. I was early on in my walk with the Lord, and at this point in time, I had my oldest son. He was probably about 13 years old, and from a previous marriage, and she made it really difficult, for me to see him. It was really tough, and so anyway, then one day I get this news that she's remarrying and they're gonna be moving, to Birmingham at this point, and I was like, oh my goodness. This bottom just fell out. It was like my heart just ripped out of my chest. It was like, and there was really, nothing I could really do. I tried,
go through courts and stuff to see if I could do anything, but it was just wasn't feasible at that time. So at that point, you know, he moves to Birmingham, you know, I'm just torn to pieces and I'm just praying to God, like, God, what are you doing? You know, and of course, I think I shared this not so, too long ago where God had touched my heart towards him when there was this divide at one point when he was really young. And then God, you know, turned my heart back towards him. And then all of a sudden now he's leaving. It's like, oh my God, it's like, what's going on here?
Right.
Like, why did you do this, Lord? You know what I'm saying?
You made it right with yourself.
It was better, yeah. You know, wasn't I better off the way I was than to have this go, you know, have to go through this?
Right.
Well, I guess about a year went by, I guess, and, you know, there was times where we could hook up and meet every now and then, because Birmingham was not too far away from where we were at.
Right.
And then I got another call.
Mm.
And now this time, they're moving again to Washington State.
Oh, wow.
That's not just a hop, skip, and a jump. I mean, that's like 2,000 miles away now.
Clearly across the country
just
now.
Clearly across the country where it was just, it was, you know, nothing I could do. I mean, I couldn't see him. It was just.
For all intents and purposes, it could have been another country.
It might as well have been. You know, it was horrific. And, and you know, I just prayed to God. I just kept praying and praying and praying. I said, Lord, just bring him back. Lord, you know, he's a teenager now. He's just coming into it, his teenage years. I mean, those are the most crucial times in your life when you need, you know, that man in your life. And I was just torn to pieces. But then God started stirring in my heart. He gave me a different direction how to pray.
Mm.
Because, you know, the man that she had married was, actually, he had a daughter here in the same town that he was leaving, but at the same time taking my son away. So it was like this bizarre situation. So God just changed my direction in my prayer life where I started praying for him to turn his heart back to his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Just totally changed gears. And I started doing that for a while. And then at this point, we were right in the middle of a camping trip. You know, we used to do the Father and Son camping trips.
Yes,
and,
yes.
You know, we were, matter of fact, we were out at the campgrounds preparing for our next event. This is like back in 04.
Right.
And, you know, we're faithfully out there preparing, put up tents and just getting things ready.
So you're ministering, getting prepared for fathers and sons to get together, and you're sowing into all of that. And meanwhile, your heart is ripped to shreds during this time because your son is over 2,000 miles away.
Right. Could do nothing but pray.
But pray.
And then I get a phone call while I'm at the campgrounds preparing for this event, which was like in a couple of days. And it's my son. At this point, he's 15. He goes, Dad, guess what?
Mm.
I said, what? He says, I'm coming home.
Wow. Wow.
I was like, don't mess with me, boy. This is not time to be messing with me. I'm stressing out right now. You have no idea what I'm doing right now. So, and he was dead serious. He says, I'm coming home. I'm like, dude, what happened? You know, I had to know. How'd that happen? Right. And as God moved on this man's heart, not only, you know, for Shane's sake, but for his daughter. He says, I need to go back and spend time with my. I gotta go back.
Wow!
The very thing I was praying that God would turn his heart. God did it.
That's awesome.
Well, God's just, you know.
Yeah.
And
powerful. I'll never forget that.
Yeah, because we can trust God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can trust God, and the best thing is just put it in God's hands. Whatever the Lord's gonna do, you know, say, God, I just trust you because you're gonna make the best possible outcome out of this. You're fair. You know my heart's desire. You know what's right, and you know if my heart's desire lines up with your truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I just pray that you connect that all together. And we're sharing a couple of stories. You know, we're just being vulnerable, really, and sharing a little bit about our past and some of the ways that God has pulled us through.
Mm-hmm.
That in hopes that it would encourage you as you're listening. That you know you're going through a situation and you're going through a trial. This is what really happens in life. You know, I was encouraged by many others that, you know, I always like to hear, you know, all these great, you know, messages. But, you know, I'm always interested in, okay, I got the what. Tell me me the how. How did this happen in your life? I'm saying.
Right, exactly.
Now, I know that Paulus and Silas get out the jail. Okay, got it, got it. You know, check. But how did you implement this? You're
right, saying? Right. Exactly.
And so our attempts of being vulnerable is just to share some of the things that we walk through. You know, God's still working on us. If you listen to yesterday's segment, you know, don't think it's strange. God's still working on you. That's a VFN radio highlight that was from yesterday's first hour.
Right.
You can go to VFN Torch by going to VFNTV.com to listen to that. But God's still working on us, and we're still growing in this. But if you can borrow the experience and not buy the experience, let me tell you something. It'll go very well with you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, John, I can totally relate with both y'all's stories, but kind of piggyback what Pat's talking about, I had a very similar situation where for years when, my oldest boy, you know, when he was still a small child, he lived with his mother. And so for me to ever be able to see him, to visit with him or anything, I always had to jump through these hoops.
Mm-hmm.
And if I didn't jump through the hoop at exactly the right moment or at the right price, you know, I was unable to see him.
Right.
You know, I mean, it was very difficult season in my life. And then one particular weekend, you know, we were supposed to have a dedication for our children, and I was supposed to have my son that weekend, and well. I missed one of the hoops, and so I was unallowed. You know, she wouldn't let him come, and so, for years, you know, I'd always prayed, you know, that God, you know, would turn the situation. And, but on this particular weekend, you know, I was like, well, you know, I can't, you know, dedicate my child. He's not here.
Right.
But, you know,
when you talk about dedicating, you're talking about.
You know, dedicating them to the Lord, you know, that I'm giving them to the Lord, that I'm putting their, you know, his life in God's hands, you know.
Cool.
Right.
And there's a picture of this, but, I went up in the front of the church during the service with all the other parents who had their children with them. And as they began to, you know, dedicate their children and pray over them. You know, I put my hand out as if my son was there to pray over him, but he wasn't there. And like I said,
in the natural,
he wasn't there.
Right.
And
I remember that gathering. We all got together as the church, you know, just believers and just praying for our kids and just wanted the best for them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And we gathered around our kids and were able to put our hands on them. But you did something interesting. You, in faith, stood up there, even though he wasn't there physically.
Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly.
And just stuck your hand out, which would seemingly look strange to an onlooker or odd.
Right,
but
that
didn't bother you. I mean, you were moving in faith and you desired to stand and bless your son anyway, which you could do.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. So, yeah, in faith, I continue to, you know, just pray over him. And so, well, I'd say maybe it was a month later, I received a phone call that that if I wanted custody of my son, that I needed to be in court by 1 o'clock that afternoon.
Mm.
Wow.
And long story short, you know, my son came home with me that day.
Permanently.
And
wow.
I ended up with custody over him.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. That's powerful.
I remember that. You know, look, we journey back and we look at these stories. That's powerful, Chris, because, I mean, there was no way in the natural. Any of that would have, I mean, you were just clawing just to be able to, you know, just surviving, just to say you could see him.
It was horrific.
And have a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how God just works things out, you know. And you had two choices. I mean, you could get bitter or better. You could have, you know, tried the arm of the flesh, you know, if I yell loud enough.
I tried it. I tried, you know, I tried that in the beginning, you know, I definitely tried that.
Yeah, we've all tried those.
Okay, I was
going to
go there.
No. But, hey, I'm being real.
But think about it. Yeah, yeah, of course. I'm having, you know, like, you're right. You know, it's just, it doesn't work, does it?
No, it doesn't.
No.
It doesn't work. And so if you can borrow the experience, listen, you know, don't buy it. It could be family relational issues. It could be work issues. You know, what do? You need a job. but you also need peace at your work as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm reminded in the scriptures in Thessalonians, Second Thessalonians, a little tongue twister for me today.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Chapter 1, verse 5, it says, all this is evident that God's judgment is right. And as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give you relief to those and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. And so it's like, you know, God just gave relief. God just intervened in that situation and says, you know what, in this trial, I'm going to turn the whole situation around. But the thing is, who you're appealing to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just takes you to be able to lose control of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
It causes you to say that, hey, I'm going to surrender my will, what I think of the perceived, you know, what the best outcome should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to get out of the way. I'm going to let it go and I'm going to give it to God. And I'm just going to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna trust my life, my family, my job, my economy, my marriage, my home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm gonna trust with all these bills that are happening. You know, I'm just gonna trust God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna trust all of this situation, mm-hmm. everything that's happened to me, to the one who judges justly. God knows it all,
mm-hmm.
and He can work it out. And so don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. Many seek audience with the ruler, but justice belongs to the Lord. Justice is from the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, don't give up. Continue to pray and seek God. And seek God. Well, before we come to the end of the extra hour, before we come to the end of the extra hour, I do want to talk about the wisdom moment. And when the wisdom moment, and we talk often that wisdom is a proper application of wisdom, of knowledge.
Right.
And you can have a lot of knowledge. You know, knowledge puffs up. It's good to know things. But if you don't know how to apply the knowledge that you do have, all you have is information.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And we want revelation. We want to see this manifested in our life the way God wants it to show up. You know, we want to walk this out, what God's showing us.
Right.
And so every day we share a proverb out of the proverbs in the Bible with the date of the month that correlates with the proverb. So, you know, obviously today is the 14th day of the month. We want to share a proverb out of the 14th. And the wisdom moment comes from Proverbs 14:26. And it says this, he who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children, it will be a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important. It's so important that as parents, that we are walking out a godly life before our children.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways that helps us to do that is to have a proper fear of the Lord.
That's right.
I mean, a lot of times our children are open to so many things. I mean, right now, you know, I was talking to some young people and they have children walking around in the elementary schools, in the middle schools with iPods, all types of electronic devices, looking at YouTube videos. My goodness, in the middle of the school, during lunchtime, during gym. I mean, you can have parameters and safety around your own children, but as soon as they are out and about in the neighborhood and at school, you can't be watching them 24 hours a day and have a surveillance. You want to raise them up in the ways of the Lord,
right?
And have them walk with God. But you can't impose a relationship on your children that you yourself are not walking on. I mean, you can't control them right.
Mm-hmm.
You can only lead right. You can lead by example. And having that fear of the Lord not only protects you, But it becomes a refuge for your children. It becomes a place where they say, wow, my parents honor God. My parents live for God.
Mm-hmm.
They not only say this, but they implement this in our life and how we live and what we see and how we act and how they treat each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes to be a refuge for them, a place where they say that, you know what, I don't have to be like the world, but we honor God. It's not just a lip service. right? Like mm-hmm. Isaiah says, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Mm-hmm. But it's with their heart. So I want to encourage you. Listen, the proverb of the day, the wisdom moment of the day, rather, is Proverbs 14:26. He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.